Welcome to the Purple Political Breakdown. How's it going? How's your day been? And today we have another episode to talk about some interesting issues, talk about some important issues, and as always, push the agenda, push the moniker of this podcast, Political Solutions Without Political Bias. Now, today's episode, there's some topics that I want to kind of go over. I wanted to go over the value of drugs and being on drugs. There's an Oregon bill that just got passed. I'll kind of inform you about what that is. Talk about the World Central Kitchen attack, which is crazy. And Israel is definitely getting a lot of negative publicity. Sorry about that. And negative feedback, and deservingly so. We'll talk about that, of course. Talk about some other stuff, such as a ransomware attack, vaping, and what it's doing in society, and much more. So, as always, if you're enjoying the podcast episode and what we provide here, make sure you guys like the YouTube channel if this is posted on YouTube. Rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and share it to all your friends and family. This is a podcast that we talk about politics and talk about issues, but I'm not trying to make you believe one side or the other. I'll give you my personal opinion, but for the most part, these type of conversations are supposed to be nuanced. They're not supposed to be politically, ideologically captured to make you think one way or the other. And that's the beautiful thing about what we do here on the Purple Political Breakdown. So let's start off with some of the issues that have happened recently. There was a huge earthquake in Taiwan that apparently killed 7 people and trapped 77, which is very unfortunate. There is also a natural disaster in my area. I live in the Ohio area. And although I'm fine, like there wasn't really anything that happened, but there was a tornado warning around like the Cincinnati to Dayton, Kentucky area. It's kind of a little bit as well. But these natural disasters are never pleasant, especially for countries that are in like the Asian type areas. So yeah, that's unfortunate, of course. Another thing I want to bring to your attention is vaping. So I'm going to give you some of the facts and then kind of bring this conversation a little bit full circle, because it's crazy how we kind of looped with vaping. And I'll tell you what I mean in a second. So vaping may increase substantial heart failure risk. A large observational study suggests e-cigarette users may be 19% more likely to develop heart failure compared to those who have never vaped. Data was analyzed from surveys and electronic health records of 176,000 participants with an average age of 52, 3,200 of whom developed heart failure. More studies are linking e-cigarettes to harmful effects and finding that they might not be as safe as previous thought, said a Yabuka Benaalsam, a physician at MedStar Health in Baltimore and the study's lead author. The reason why I say this is coming full circle is because this is the cigarettes pandemic all over again. It's actually insane how many people are vaping nowadays and how people are smoking weed, but totally different things. But I'm going to kind of get to my point in a second. Cigarettes were hugely popular. And the reason why people smoke cigarettes and the reason why people smoke vapes and smoke weed is it calms their nerves. It's a relaxer. It relaxes them from the stresses of the world. And even though society is getting safer, we're having more food, we're having more freedom, people are getting more stressed somehow. And there's a reason for it. We're not going to dive into it in today's podcast episode, but there's a reason for it, obviously. So people are going to means and methods to try to relax their nerves and calm them down. And we got rid of cigarettes. Everybody was kind of learning that cigarettes were terrible. They caused lung cancer, X, Y, and Z. It has been ingrained into my generation, the generation after me, and moving forward. Smoking a cigarette nowadays is seen as a blasphemy. But all we did is transition from cigarettes to another substance and vaping. And crazy enough, vaping is not good for you either. So ultimately, what it's saying to us, the historical precedent that it's kind of emitting, is that people are trying to find any means to calm themselves down from external means. I think there are better ways to do it, But some people don't want to go the more logical approach. They want to go the easy approach, just a quick substance to calm me down. And that is vaping, e-cigarettes, those little rectangle things. It tastes better. People say, oh man, it may not. I think the selling point is some of them don't have nicotine or something. And it's crazy because my sister does a lot of e-cigs and vapes. And I'm like, not only are they expensive, but what do they truly do for you? I kind of feel similarly to weed to an extent, because all these agents are trying to calm people down and relax their nerves, but they're also kind of making people somewhat submissive, too lax, too calm, too lazy. There are things that you can use in terms of terminology. I think people need to be willing and need to have the vigor to face these things up front. Go right at your problems and fix it. But I know it's hard. It's easy for me to say that because not everybody works like me. And I don't try to pretend that anything that I can do or any way I think can apply to the masses, because I've come to learn it doesn't. So the biggest point that I'm making here is it's interesting how human society basically went in a circle. Cigarettes, calm people, lot sold everywhere. The prices started stacking up. We found out it's dangerous. Ban, unhealthy, nobody should do it. There comes vaping, there comes e-cigarettes. Now we're seeing it, everybody's using it to calm their nerves. The prices are stacking up. Come to find out, they're unhealthy. This cycle's not going to end. Whether it's weed or something else, people are going to find something. Prices are going to stack up. We're going to find out that there's an unhealthy means to using it. And then people are going to like, don't do it. That's just the cycle of cigarettes. They try to do that with alcohol, but alcohol, it came back. I don't think they'll be able to do with weed either, but ultimately, too much of anything is a bad thing. And that's what we have to learn. It's not necessarily that cigarettes, if you take one, is bad. If you take a vape one time, it's bad. Weed one time is bad. Alcohol one time is bad. That's not the case. The reason it's bad is it's an external substance that you're continuously using. Too much of anything is a bad thing, especially something like e-cigarettes, cigarettes, weed, alcohol. So this is just going to be a looping effort. The cycle will never truly end because people always want to calm their nerves and people are just continuously getting more and more stressed out. Let's move on to another topic. County declares emergency, ransomware attack likely. Jackson County, Missouri has declared a state of emergency as a response to a possible ransomware attack that has made some IT systems inoperable. The systems confirmed inoperable include tax on online property payments, marriage license insurance, and inmate searches. All assessment collection and record of deeds offices have been closed. The response to the attack and the investigation has just begun. Officials said they had no evidence that the data has been compromised. The attack first came to attention Tuesday morning, that's county officials said. According to Brent Callow, a threat analyst with security firm Emasoft, ransomware attacks have hit 28 county, municipal, or tribal governments this year. There were 95 last year and 106 occurred in 2022. So this is just to kind of raise awareness that these things definitely are happening. If you guys are not aware, the US and UK are also sanctioning China, or at the very least, the allegations are put in place that China had some cyber attack that took place, and that there might be some link to the cyber attack and the Chinese government, which is not good, obviously. So these are just things that are going to continue to happen. And I think something that people need to realize is that America and basically governments moving forward need to increase their cybersecurity efforts. Cyber attacks, cybersecurity, AI, all of that is going to be the future. And we shouldn't be afraid to kind of push towards that, because we know all the other countries are going to push towards that. We know that there's hackers in the dark web that are going to push towards that. So I just want to bring that to your attention. Next, let's talk about something in relation to AI. So there's many artists that are warning against AI use in music. And I've actually said this myself before, that there is definitely danger when it comes to AI and how it can basically disguise or mimic someone else's voices. When it comes to artists, when it comes to another person, that we definitely need to put certain stipulations against. And it's crazy to me, right? It's crazy to me because I don't think AI is necessarily bad. But if we're going to have some of these concerns when it comes to social media and what it does, and we always have these concerns of like, oh man, we got to make the most money and capitalize on that. This should have been done immediately for AI and AI usage when it comes to mimicking music and copyright and all that stuff. So let me read out what some of these artists have been saying. More than 200 artists, including Billie Eilish, Nicki Minaj, and the Jonas Brothers, are calling for tech companies, artificial intelligence developers, and digital music services to cease the use of AI over concerns of its impact on artists and songwriters, according to an open letter published Tuesday. The artists warned that the unregulated use of AI in the music industry could sabotage creativity and undermine artists, songwriters, musicians, and rights holders. Made no mistake, we believe that when used responsibly, AI has enormous potential to advance human creativity in a manner that enables the development and growth of new and exciting experiences for music fans everywhere, the letter stated. They added that unfortunately, some platforms and developers are using AI in ways that could have detrimental impact on artists. When used irresponsibly, AI poses enormous threats to our ability to protect our privacy, our identities, our music, and our livelihoods. Other artists signed the letter, including Katy Perry, Zayn Malik, Noah Kahan, Imagine Dragons, and they state to Bob Marley and Frank Sinatra. Now, obviously, there's more to it, but you guys kind of get the basic gist of what is going on. And ultimately, I think that is a very fair thing to say for me, at the very least. AI has a lot of benefits, but the ability to copy people's voices should never be allowed. I'm dead serious. Should never be allowed. That should be banned immediately. The danger behind it completely outweighs the trolling and the humor that it may give. There's one thing, right, when people kind of do the little mimic voices with, you know, they do the impressions. Impressions are funny, but you can immediately identify their face and you can immediately note that, yeah, this is not him. It kind of sounds like him, but you can kind of figure it out. AI can get as perfect as a match as possible. And most people will be fooled. And the way that AI has been used already in terms of trying to scam people, even the fact that YouTube, it's ridiculous. YouTube, this is so irresponsible that you allow ads on your platform that has AI imitating creators and rich people and people like Joe Rogan's voices to basically push their ad is so irresponsible. So I think you can make a holistic argument that AI in terms of imitating voices should be banned. Straight up, should be banned. At the very least, there should be no monetary gain at all from AI mimic voices. Like at all. If you want to, you know, use an app and have a little fun, I mean, I think that should be okay. But if you try to monetize after of mimicking someone's voice, that should be banned immediately. Immediately. That's basically identity theft. It should be banned immediately. So that's my opinion regarding that. So with that said, let's dive into our last topic and probably the most serious topic of it all, and referencing the World Central Kitchen and the Israeli airstrike. So to kind of give you a little context on who the World Central Kitchen is first before we dive into it. The World Central Kitchen is a non-for-profit, non-governmental organization that provides food relief. It was founded in 2010 by Spanish-American chef and restaurateur Jose Andres following the earthquake in Haiti, and it subsequently responded to Hurricane Harvey, the 2018 Iowa Puna eruption, 2023 Turkey-Syria earthquakes, and the ongoing Gaza humanitarian crisis. So this has been a humanitarian, non-government organization that has been here to help people. And to kind of inform you what has happened, the bodies of 6 foreign aid workers killed in an Israeli airstrike were moved Wednesday to Egypt for reparation to their homelands, while Israel faced wide condemnation for their deaths. A total of 7 staff members of the U.S.-based food charity World Central Kitchen were killed in the late Monday airstrike that United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, I'm just going to say Antonio, I probably won't pronounce the last name correctly, said was unconscionable. That's not a weird word. And an inevitable result of the way that the war is being conducted. U.S. President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are scheduled to speak Thursday, according to a U.S. official familiar with planning for the call. The official was not authorized to comment publicly and spoke on the condition of anonymity to discuss plans for the call. The White House is growing increasingly frustrated with how Israel is conducting the war and in the aftermath of Monday's airstrikes. The remains of 3 British citizens, a Polish citizen, an Australian, and a Canadian-American dual citizen were taken in ambulances to the Rafah crossing with Egypt, where they were handed over to representatives of their respective countries. Their Palestinian driver was also killed in the attack, and his body turned over to his family for burial in Gaza. The 7 were distributing food to famished Palestinians that have been transported into Gaza through a newly established maritime corridor when Israeli airstrikes mistakenly targeted their 3 vehicles, killing everyone inside. Israel's Armed Forces Chief Herzi Halevi called the attack a grave mistake, which he blamed on nighttime misidentification, adding into a video message, "We are sorry for the unintentional harm to the members of the World Central Kitchen." Netanyahu pledged the tragic case would be investigated right to the end, and President Isaac Herzog expressed his deep sorrow and sincere apologies. In the op-ed published by Israel's Lord Yediat Ahronot newspaper on Wednesday, Jose Andres, the celebrity chef who is founder of the food charity, wrote, "The Israeli government needs to open land routes to food and medicine today. It needs to stop killing civilians and aid workers today." Biden said late Tuesday he was outraged and heartbroken by the attack. "They were providing food to hungry citizens, civilians in the middle of a war. They were brave and selfless. Their deaths are a tragedy," said by Biden. The U.S. leader said Tuesday's attack was not a standalone incident and that Israel has not done enough to protect aid workers trying to deliver desperately needed help to civilians. "The United States will continue to do all we can to deliver humanitarian assistance to Palestinian civilians in Gaza through all available means. I will continue to press Israel to do a more to facilitate that aid, and we are pushing hard for immediate ceasefire as part of a hostage deal." So I wanted to read all of that for you to kind of inform you about what's going on. And here's my thoughts. Israel, what the hell? I want to be clear. It's unfortunate how people have these conversations. It's unfortunate because now people who are going to say pro-Palestine say we were right all along, right? And people who are going to be potentially pro-Israel might go, "Oh man, maybe we were wrong all along." It's not that simple. And people try to make these things a black and white situation. Let's be very clear. For me, at the very least, before the kind of push to Rafah, I was somewhat siding with Israel, especially considering the October 7th attack and that they're our allies. I was somewhat siding to them to an extent, but I immediately noted that Hamas was terrible
And certain Israeli extreme right-wingers in the government are also terrible. Like, they're equally as evil because they didn't want the extermination of the other side. So I've always noted that right off rip. But if I had to choose a side, I was choosing Israel to an extent. Ever since the invasion on Rafah, I have no idea what the goal is for Netanyahu. Because now he's been losing so much support and has been doing despicable things. Whether you could speak about rescuing the two hostages and killing a bunch of Palestinians, whether you could speak on some of the other strikes that happened in Rafah, whether you could speak about them saying, oh, hell no, to the ceasefire deal that the UN and even the US abstained about. And now we have the situation with the World Central Kitchen. I'm sorry. Tragic accident. It wasn't your intention. Misidentification is all bullshit. It is. There is really no excuse. You have been given opportunity by opportunity, and the United States of America has been continuously trying to back you because they believe that obviously you're our ally, of course, but also the attacks on October 7th were horrendous. But even the United States government, even the president, even some people that are like, I'm siding with Israel, are going like, what the hell are you doing? But now it seems like your intention is more than saving the hostages. It's more than brokering peace. It's outright extermination. That's what it looks like from the outside looking in. And as we know, perception is reality. And this is just the nail in the coffin. You're going to feed the pro-Palestinian hallmarkers. And I would argue, you could probably argue that this is a blessing in disguise, because now Israel has no fucking leverage. They don't. The U.S. has already been getting pretty upset with how Israel was conducting the Rafah situation for a while now. They've been like, yo, y'all doing too much. We got to help the Palestinian civilians. We've been saying, okay, we abstained from the ceasefire deal. But at this point, we got to start brokering peace. We got to get your hostages back. This is you're doing too much. That's been the U.S.'s position for a while now, because Netanyahu and Israel have been tripping. And then you have this. Attacking the World Central Kitchen of all places because of a misidentification? It's crazy. It's dumb. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. There are going to be people of Hamas that are terrible people still involved. You can't be excusing all of Palestine because some of the Hamas leaders and some of the Hamas people are still terrible. They're definitely hiding amongst the innocent. All of that might be the case, but in the totality of the conversation we're having, just because of these Hamas leaders, some of these platoons that you're referring to may or may not exist, it's all about pros and cons. And honestly, since you've invaded Rafah, it's been all cons. All cons. I've been skeptical for a while now since you've been doing this. And I think you can honestly say that the protests that have been happening in Jerusalem are very much justified, because there are people in Jerusalem on the Israeli side that want to oust the government. They want to oust some members of the government. They want to get Netanyahu out there and some of the people that are so hell-bent on continuing this, I think you can say it, invasion. And Egypt has already spoke about this situation to an extent, saying that, yo, if y'all keep on doing this, and we have people pushing into our borders, we're going to break off a peace agreement between us. But Israel doesn't care. Netanyahu doesn't care. They're continuously pushing through. And for what? Let's be very clear. I'm going to reiterate. If you haven't listened to my other podcast episode, the ceasefire deal that the UN has proposed said that they will stop and have a ceasefire until Ramadan is over. And in the midst of that, Hamas and Palestine has to give up all of the hostages. Isn't that one of your goals? To get the hostages? So not only can you guys stop fighting for Ramadan, but you get all your hostages back. That seemed like a good thing to me. Well, the reason why U.S. abstained is because in the deal, they didn't want to condemn Hamas for October 7th. And that you could speak about that if you want. But regardless, the main point is ceasefire, hostages are retrieved. And Netanyahu said no. Israel said no. And what did you do in the, instead? An airstrike on the World Central Kitchen. Yeah, as of right now, Israel, as of right now, Netanyahu, you have lost all your leverage. The support has dwindled to a large extent. And that is terrible leadership. The fact that you guys had a terrorist attack put on you from an organization like Hamas that wants to eliminate all Jews in Israel, but now y'all are having negative support, just speaks about your irresponsible, childish, and immature leadership. That's what it speaks on. Because there's no way the moral side should have flipped at any point in this conflict. But I think you can argue, as of right now, it did. So, ultimately, I wouldn't go like I'm pro-Palestine or anything. But you must, as an individual who appreciates logic, who appreciates consistency, who appreciates peace, even if you don't have a side, but you care about those attributes, you must concede that these things that Netanyahu and Israel has been doing recently has been irresponsible and has been idiotic. If we want to criticize pro-Palestinian people for defending Hamas, then you have to be consistent. Apply your moral values in this situation and condemn Israel as well. So let me know what you guys think about the situation. Of course, you can contact me. I think I might actually have an Israeli come on my podcast episode. So I might actually bring this to the point of conversation. I'm not an expert. I just know what I know. That's what I always abide by. If you can give me more information that will enlighten my perspective, then I would appreciate it. But make sure you tune into that future episode as well. Hope you guys enjoyed. You have a good one. Take care. Rated 5 stars. If you did, you can contact me at any point at my website, www.purplepoliticalbreakdown.com. Take care and peace.